Fairybred would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land. We pay our respects to the elders past, present and emerging, for they hold the memories, tradition and culture of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people across the nation.
Although here at Fairybred we're careful about content, we still may be discussing topics which could be upsetting or triggering. Listener discretion is advised. Hey, Brendan, how's your week been?
It's been one of those up and down weeks, like a roller coaster a bit, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everything all right?
Yeah, everything's fine. I had a bit of a head cold, you know, it's just, what's that expression?
Speedy recovery.
No soldier on.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and yours, you've been all right?
Yeah. I'm not going to trauma dump too much in my therapy session with you this week, but I'm on steroids and you can clearly see they're not the hot body steroids that I'm on. I'm on the no hives, stop itching your skin steroids. And so I'm up at 4:30 every morning and half dead by 6:30 p.m. So I haven't been watching anything but our feature documentary. My focus just hasn't been there to even read a line in a book, so I've done none of that.
Well, from all the fairy breaders, here's a collective hug for you.
So thank you. Mind my hives.
Yeah, oh, you poor love. Oh. And welcome to our Amsterdam fairy breeder as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, this week, what I have been watching and listening to, sort of varying things actually, mm-hmm. I've been watching BBC Earth, the live show at the Melbourne Exhibition Centre. Can I use that as a watching? I suppose I can. Because last week I talked about Planet Earth
3. Yes, you were talking about...
And the BBC Live Earth show is at the Melbourne Exhibition Centre at the moment. So we went along to it and had a look. And it's in this huge sort of hall down there with these massive, not TV screens, but like projections all over this huge sort of warehouse type thing in different locations with different angles and things.
It sounds fabulous.
And it goes to the seven continents and about 10 minutes in each of these continents. You've feature some, you know, some of the animals and things.
So does that mean that you've been incontinent this week?
I have been incontinent 7 times.
Yes. Okay, I'd get that checked up if I were you. I've got a really good doctor who's got me on the steroids.
I've got a good proctologist, thank you.
I can't believe so.
And urologist, yeah.
You're listening to any podcasts or doing any reading, Brendan?
Yeah, I did listen to one podcast when I woke up during the middle of the night. Katie Couric's back with her season 9.
Okay.
And she has her own podcast called Next Question. And I didn't know anyone much about this guy. I thought you might have told me about him. His name's Jay Shetty.
He was a monk.
And his podcast, which is huge, Purpose in Work, Life, yes. And Love. Yeah, yeah. I haven't listened to that. We'll
and
have
he's,
a listen.
He's written a couple of really good New York Times bestsellers.
Yes.
One is Think Like a Monk.
But that's what I've been listening to. Just the one podcast and, of course, watching Donna Summer.
So, Donna Summer, Love to Love You, Brendan. How did you find it?
A really good insight into her life.
It was.
Because it was her friends, her family, her record executives.
Her exes.
The exes. They all spoke about Donna, of course, with old footage, talked about herself and
yes.
And old interviews and things. So it was really comprehensive about her life. It's an HBO doco. And from the moment I saw the opening scenes with the fan dancer at Studio 54 and the poppers going up through the nose.
Yeah, didn't that take you back?
Nostalgia, I'll tell you what.
Well, I was a little bit late to the disco party only because I wasn't old enough to go to discos when I loved Donna Summer.
So we were introduced to her daughter, Mimi, who, and the other daughter as well, I think.
Yeah, Brooklyn.
Who told stories about their mother. They had crates of her record awards. The story was told from the daughters at the start.
They're going through her items, obviously, after she's passed, to learn more about her because she was quite complicated. A lot of their childhood, she was absent because she was busy working and they were brought up by her parents. And one thing I didn't know was what a beautiful artist she was. Beautiful, bright yes. colours and lovely pieces of work. I don't think anyone knew that she painted.
And she struggled with her fame on and off right throughout her career.
And her image, yes. Yeah,
and her image.
And she struggled being a parent because she wasn't really a very nurturing mother. So she had many struggles. She did protect her girls from fame and from that part of her life. They would only find out about her life by reading newspapers. Mm. They actually played Love to Love You with its 22 unmentionable orgasms. It was banned by the BBC. And she soon thereafter became the first lady of love. And she really did fit into that trope of insatiable black woman.
Early days, she had a band called Crow.
Crow, yes. It was an all-white band apart from herself.
She went to Germany when she was doing hair?
Yeah, she did hair. She auditioned for hair in New York City and went to Germany.
And there she met Helmuth?
Her first husband, Helmuth Sommer, which is where Summer came from.
And had Mimi.
the one thing that she was world famous for was she always had a movie camera, and she filmed herself. She filmed all of her concerts that may come back to bite her later. She had a lot of fun with her home movies. And so there's a very rich tapestry of film clip and home movies in this documentary, which I really loved.
I think I did too, yeah. That was one of the beauties of the whole doco, was combining both of those. Early on in her childhood too, I remember them saying that she had the scar on the chin, which she was very conscious of all the time. She was under a fence, I think, and got it caught on the fence.
Correct, yes. And she was very self-conscious about it, but it never really seemed to detract. I thought she had the most unique but beautiful look, and her look was very polarizing. Not everyone saw her as beautiful. I thought she had a beautiful, unique look and a beautiful, unique voice, and I didn't ever notice any problem with her chin. When it was pointed out, I saw it on a couple of album covers, and I thought, okay, it's still not a huge flaw. There's a lot worse things that could have happened.
Bring in Georgia Moroder too, very shortly after her Munich days. She only was with Helm for 2 years. I think they split up.
Correct. And Georgia Moroder became her redeeming male figure, which was the opposite of the regular choice of men that she had, which was abusive and controlling. And Georgia Moroder was also a wonderful influence on her career.
And I Feel Love came about with Georgia Moroder. And they used this magnificent sort of like theatre organ in a way, with all these knobs and buttons and lights to create this sound, which Donna actually was very instrumental in
creating.
Correct, yes, in creating the sound for I Feel Love, which stands up today. I think Elton John said it changed the way people thought of music.
I think it did too. And also then, with Giorgio Moroder's gay influence, then we had Bad Girls with the whistles. Do you remember the gay clubs when people would, not only the fan dancing, but also people would bring whistles to gay clubs and be whistling? And I'm not sure whether that was a straight club thing or not, because I didn't go to straight clubs, I only went to gay clubs.
They also had the whistles too, where there was a lot of bashing, so they would have whistles on the way home. They would, and people would come and assist them. Yeah,
Whistles. So I think they were carrying a whistle anyway, and they just brought them out in gay clubs and added to the music. The toot toot beep beep, which was the way that people would attract, that clients would attract the attention of sex workers by tooting their horns, and they went over. So from the First Lady of Love, Donna Summer then gets to be coined the Queen of Disco, and she brought out the sensational version of MacArthur Park. And you know, MacArthur Park, I've never heard a bad version.
True.
Yeah, have you?
No, I haven't. I think so.
And I think she brought out a beautiful disco version of MacArthur Park.
We mentioned earlier, she couldn't really deal with her fame, could she?
No, not really. At the height of her success, she found some of the worst days of her her life. They touched on her being molested by a minister when she was in her teens. Yeah. But these are things, both of these two difficult times were things that weren't fully explored. So there were a few points which they could have perhaps dug a little bit deeper, which they didn't.
And the abuse she had with the men in her life as well, some of the men in her life.
Mm.
But she met someone who she really loved and fell in love with, and that was Bruce Sedano. So she married Bruce. It's the first time she said that anyone has ever introduced her to a Bible.
Mm, which is interesting, because we often hear about these beautiful voices coming out of gospel choirs, and Donna's didn't.
Because her mother wanted her to be a gospel singer, didn't she?
Yes. Dim All the Lights going to number two, but on October the 15th, Enough is Enough went to number one.
It's a strange date, October the 15th.
Very strange.
It's a good date. It's a good date.
That's an in-joke. It's my birthday, everyone.
So it's a great day to be had by all. Now, she was on Casablanca originally, or her big hits, and then she sued them because there was a bit of a contractual problem going
issues
on there.
Yeah, so Casablanca was a dance label, a dance record label. So they had Donna Summer was their sort of star, and the Village People. They also had signed Kiss, which isn't dance at all. And she was the first artist to be signed to Geffen Records. Now, David Geffen's another documentary we've got to do as well, Brendan. That's an unbelievable documentary. We then meet Onetta Johnson, who was the inspiration for She Works Hard for the Money. Donna Summer was the first black woman to have a music video played on MTV, and that was She Works Hard for the Money.
So let's get the elephant in the room out of the way and talk about the Adam and Steve thing.
So I was a huge Donna Summer fan, and this was probably the first cancelling when cancel culture wasn't a thing, and this was an international cancelling. So towards her later years, she would then do this sort of sermon thing before she started performing, and it was all sort of God is great and all of that. Came one particular concert where the AIDS crisis was rearing its incredibly ugly head. And Donna Summer had, and I've got to paraphrase, and yes, I wasn't there, but it's very, very interesting that all of her concerts were filmed and yet there's no footage of this one. So I've got my own opinion and I know ours differ. They touch on it very, very briefly in the documentary, and they sort of say things that are not perhaps as committed as I would have liked. So I know you, Brendan, and I know things that you would say and that you wouldn't say, but I can very confidently say, if somebody tells me that you've said something, I can say, yep, that sounds like him. Or I would say, yep, Brendan, that's not something Brendan would say. Brendan wouldn't say that. I don't believe Brendan said that. They're a bit more mild on their defence of Donna Summer and what she said. So she said something to the effect of, AIDS has been brought as the wrath of God, or a God's revenge, or this is God, you know, settling the score. Now, that's great, but what she's actually then done, and you can believe whatever you want, but she said something in Atlantic City about Adam and Steve, about, I've seen the evils of homosexuality and AIDS is the result of your sins. And this was reported in The Advocate. What she basically did was slammed 99% of her target market, because you will notice in the documentary that there are a lot of gay men in
the footage, in the audience.
In the audience. Yeah. So her fan base has then just been insulted. She didn't vehemently deny, but she did deny. She didn't apologise. There was no lawsuit. However, there was the aftermath of these alleged comments, but I believe that they did happen.
Huge rift between the community, gay community.
Huge rift. And all of us, although I wasn't involved in the steamrolling of her records, it certainly did affect my enjoyment of listening to her music.
Yeah, she said she was misrepresented.
Well, it was a bit of an elephant in the room, even in the documentary. They really didn't cover it.
Yeah, that's the only thing that you would have liked them to cover a bit more, perhaps come to a definitive decision or a definitive argument for for and against.
Well, I believe that it happened, and I know that you're...
I'm sceptical, I don't know, because I like to be able to hear things from people's mouths.
Yeah, it's just interesting that there's footage of everything else.
Except that one.
Know,
that's
it's
really weird.
Yeah. So I kind of think...
So when we say that there's no footage of that particular concert where she's supposed to have said those things, does that mean that it may have been destroyed? They may have done that because they didn't want the evidence?
There was prolific filming of her concerts. It's very interesting to me that there is no footage of this particular sermon when there is footage of other sermons that were made at that same time. I find it an interesting tidbit, and it may be something that you can resolve that you'll never know. I actually believe it. I believe it happened, and I went out in sympathy when we were losing friends, and we won't get into that whole Freddie Mercury thing again, but you know, you and I were losing friends and a very dear friend, and I'm offended that somebody believed that this was, you know, God's way of righting wrongs.
Yeah, well, I don't think she was the only one that said that sort of thing over the years as well, has
she? No, but absolutely not. But she was somebody who I adored as a diva and then just couldn't.
And millions of gay men all over the world did as well. Mm. Yeah. We'll leave that there.
Yes. Sorry, I know it's a bit unpleasant.
No, it's not. I think it still conjures up in my mind thoughts of what we said about why the footage isn't around still. And, you know, I'd love someone to investigate it a bit more. I'm not an investigative journalist as such, but I think maybe...
Don't you think that it's interesting that they didn't really touch on it as well in the documentary?
Yeah.
Like, they're happy to touch on her lung cancer diagnosis and her passing...
Her abuse
and other things, but that one they kind of glossed over. They didn't delve deeply into anything negative. I will say that. It's not like they just left that one and nothing else. Nothing negative was super deeply delved into. However, this one was an important one because she spent the rest of her career trying to make up for that one comment. Now, nobody came out and said, I was at the concert and it wasn't said. Nobody came out and did that. Many people said, yes, it was said.
Mm.
For that to spread like wildfire, pre-internet days, you know, pre-social media. You know, that got to Australia really quickly as well.
It's got to have some credence, absolutely.
It probably does. And I'm sad about that because she was such a brilliant performer. She really did change the face of music history, and I'm sad that it ended that way, that our relationship, we parted ways in quite a hostile way.
Did the gay community take her under their wing again?
No, she was never forgiven. She was cancelled. And I think that that's our first celebrity cancellation before cancel culture. Now everyone gets cancelled every 5 minutes and are never brought back into the fold as well. But I think she's the very first one that I can remember.
She died of lung cancer. There was one, when I was watching this the second time, there was one of those stills photos, you know, the black and white stills with, the Kodak down the side.
Yes.
The frames. And I'm sure I saw her with the cigarette.
Yes, yeah. You did.
So I did, because people can die from lung cancer without smoking, of
Absolutely.
Course.
And apparently that's a worse lung cancer.
Okay.
Apparently.
They didn't discuss her death, did they, really?
Not really. Once again, glossing over the unpleasantries, and I understand that, but there were questions because we found out that she'd passed here in Australia, but I didn't know what she'd died of.
So I got a lot out of it. I really enjoyed that it was told by her family, her friends, her business colleagues, the great memorable archival footage, the meld of the two of her footage and the original footage as well.
And her exes spoke glowingly about her. So she was really genuinely a lovely person. So it isn't to take away from the music and it isn't to take away from what a lovely person she was. It just appeared that she went a little bit overboard on her views.
And her voice, amazing voice.
Unbelievable voice.
And early in the early days, they thought she was just going to do the disco, and she didn't actually have a voice that had a range. She did. She was a magnificent vocalist.
Mm. Yeah. And she had a beautiful concept album called Once Upon a Time. Did you ever have that? I used to own it.
I listened to it a couple of times in a record store I used to work in.
It was a fantastic album, and it showed a great range.
And one of the things that I did enjoy was listening to the old music, of course, and especially I Remember Yesterday, which and it was one of those first albums that I got where they used to track into each other. Like, yes. There was the whole side would display without the, you know,
without a gap. Yeah, it was fantastic, wasn't it?
It still stands up today. Because they didn't mention or didn't go into a few of the elephants, I think 7 out of 10.
I'll give it an 8. She was really my first diva, and it was such a sad ending that her and I had, in that we had a breakup because of this terrible comments that she made.
Oh, my God. It's time for What's My Line, which means that Penny's going to give me the first line of some Donna Summer songs. And I have to guess them, of course. Now, I'm sure, like you normally do, you've got a list of the songs you can't use because the title's in the first line.
Yep, I've got those. I'll do those first.
Okay.
Love to Love You, Dim All the Lights, Bad Girls, On the Radio. I'm sorry, but I had to include that.
Yeah.
Dinner with Gershwin.
Oh.
Love Will Always Find You. That's a great song. Try Me, I Know We Can Make It. Last Dance, oh my gosh, that song. I actually can still do the moves that I used to do to that song. Journey to the Centre of Your Heart, and She Works Hard for the Money. So all of those are cancelled out.
Oh, dear, is there anything left?
A few.
All right, okay, so let's rock and roll.
Sitting here, eating my heart out, waiting. Oh, look at you doing the shoulder moves already. You already know. You can interrupt at any time.
Do you remember when 4 and 20 used it for an ad?
4 and 20.
Hot stuff.
That's it. And that's what they did. They did 4 and 20. Hot stuff, baby, this evening.
Chico rod on this hand. Couple of donuts in this hand.
Oh, dear.
Get it?
Yes. Baby, please. Please don't take your love from me. I am yours forevermore till eternity.
Baby, please. Heaven knows.
You got it. It's raining. It's pouring.
This is my least favourite song of hers of all time.
Really?
Yeah, I am. No More Tears, Enough is Enough with Barbara Streisand.
What makes it your least favourite?
Oh, because I don't like a lot of screaming.
Yeah, there's a bit of screaming.
There's a bit of screaming going on.
Caterwauling in there. Yeah, yeah, that's very true.
I mean,
true.
They're fantastic voices, of course, but yeah, just a bit too much.
I think, though, it seemed competitive between those two.
Oh, yeah.
And you're saying it's too much. And they're saying enough is enough.
That's right. Okay, let's move on there. Let's have another one.
Okay. I've hung around with big shots, never knew love was in the sights. I guess I missed the target, caught up in a different line of fire.
Finger on the trigger.
Yeah.
What album was that from?
Love is in Control.
Okay, yeah.
Another one, Brendan.
Okay.
Ooh. It's so good, it's so good, it's so good, it's so good, it's so good.
Could listen to this every day, I think. I Feel Love. Yeah. Giorgio Moroder produced it. Did he write it as well with her? I think he
probably
did.
Probably.
Yeah, great song. Yeah. Okay, let's go for another one of Donna Summers.
What would I have to do to get you to notice me too? Do I stand in line, one of a million admiring eyes? Write your name way up high, da-na-na, across the sky. I'm going crazy just to let you know. You'd be amazed how much I love you so, oh baby.
This time, I know it's for real. Oh, the well pressure's done. On.
One more.
All right.
Well, he searched and searched for nights and days till he found the one he loved.
I always think this is another song, but is it I Love You?
It is.
Yeah, I don't know. Very good.
5 out of 5, Brendan. Not bad, considering that she's not your favourite disco queen. True.
That's What's My Line. Next week on Fairy Root, we'll have another one for you. Thanks, doll.
Thank you. 5 out of 5. That's 3 weeks in a row. You've been 5 out of 5, Brendan. Hey, Brendan.
Hello there.
How you going?
Good. Is it that time of the week again?
It's that time of the week.
All right.
You know when you see something's not quite right
and
all that stuff?
Think you are.
Call my lawyer.
Now, the case today, please, Miss Cox.
I've been into a few secondhand bookstores.
You'd love those.
I go in Spates. Ooh. I'm in Spates.
Where's that? Is that near Essendon? I don't know where that is.
Yes, Spates Warehouse.
So you've got a bookshop.
Got a bookshop that I go to, and I found a book in there which I'm actually going to put in the thumbnail for the show. So the book is called, and it's an old vintage book that nobody's ever heard of.
Hardback?
It is hardback, but it's kind of bound with that cloth.
Oh, yeah.
The red cloth.
Does it smell?
I don't know. I didn't buy it. I just took a photo of it.
Sorry, too many questions. Okay, keep going.
Well, you're like interrogating me.
I am, yes.
Yes. Mm. This is for the Fairy Bread courtroom, this is actually a death penalty case. We don't often have things this serious.
Well, that's controversial.
Mm. So the book is called That None Should Die.
Oh,
it's a bit dramatic, isn't it, for a title?
I don't think that would be that couldn't happen because can you imagine if no one ever died? Anyway,
so That None Should Die. I'm going to get you to read out the name of the author, please, Brendan, from my...
Frank G. Slaughter.
Slaughter, None Should Die. Call my lawyer!
I've gone out this week.
Okay.
And found a few products that are the same brand name but different flavours that you may or may not have had before.
Are we doing What's That Like?
We are. It's okay. Time for that What's That Like, mm-hmm. where we taste new flavours and sensations and give you our ratings.
Okay. Yeah, they're generally pretty ordinary, aren't they? We're not very good with change or new flavours or something. Maybe the combinations just aren't to our I don't know.
So, you know the rolled up sweets called Mentos?
Oh, they're like a mint pastille kind of a thing.
And fruit ones. So, these are some new flavours here. Now,
okay.
I'll do this one first because this is different.
Do the most revolting one first so I can get the taste out of it my mouth.
You know how you can squeeze and pop it out? There you go. There's one popped out for you.
Okay. Oh, these are purple.
So, pop it in your mouth. Have a bit of a suck. Should I tell you what flavour it is?
Yeah, because it might be something I'm allergic to, Brendan.
Mentos. Two flavours of sour, whatever they are.
Mine's watermelon, but not sour.
Mine's watermelon as well. I think it must be all the same.
What? It's not sour.
The sour's now. Chew it up a bit. Oh. Mmm. Mmm. Cherry sour.
Oh, yeah. I could do that again. It's not super sour.
We had some sour things a while ago too, which weren't very sour.
Mm. No, these are much more sugary than sour, but they're nice. I'm giving them a 6. They're good.
Predominant cherry flavour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I'll agree. 6 from me as well, though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the next one we've got.
I've got to get rid of this one.
Summer flavour ice cream.
Oh, gee, this one's going to be a hard act to follow with an ice cream chaser.
Well, I thought I'd give the sour one before the sweet, don't you reckon? And the actual ice creams are pine, lime, vanilla flavour and raspberry vanilla. They're the two flavours in this ice cream. Summer ice cream. And let's pop it. Pop your cherry.
Okay, I've got no idea what this one is then.
I think they're both supposed to be in the same one.
Oh.
The pine, lime and the raspberry. Anyway.
They do have an ice creamy flavour.
Yeah.
Oh, they're pretty good.
As soon as I popped it in, I thought I had ice cream in my mouth.
Mm. I'm a little bit sherbety. I like those two, but I think I prefer the sour watermelon ones more. These are all Mentos. See, all I thought Mentos was mint only.
Originally, yeah, they were mint, yeah. Mm. I think I can taste the raspberry one, the raspberry in this.
I've got the raspberry one, I'm sure.
Ice cream and raspberry. Oh, you're
That's
up,
really nice.
You're up for a third?
Hang on a minute, let me just score that. What did
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry, I forgot about that.
So I'm doing 6 on the sour.
The ice cream summer flavours?
I'm going to do 5 on those.
Okay.
That means I'd still buy them. Anything under 5 I wouldn't buy.
I'm giving that a 6 as well.
Are you?
Yep. What's that like?
So, Brendan, what do you want to watch next week?
We have spoken a couple of times about documentaries that are relative to the ones we've just talked about.
Yes.
So I thought we'd do David Geffen.
Inventing David Geffen?
Indeed, yeah.
Okay,
yep.
No problem.
So that's for next week. Now, if you like what you hear, follow Fairy Bread, rate us 5 stars, of course, and we'd love you to write a rave review. And you can email us with any comments or suggestions as well. It's fairybreadpod@gmail.com.
And you can share this episode. On the Apple podcast app, click the 3 dots drop-down menu and you'll see an option to share to your socials or to a friend or to Sunny.
Cher still hasn't contacted us.
So until next time on Fairy Bread, play nice.
Wherever you play. Oh, by the way.
Okay, I'm nervous.
No, this isn't blue. This is like you know, just a family sort of joke, really.
Okay.
Sarah Jessica Parker walked into a bar and the barman said, "Why the long face?"
Okay, that's pretty bad. Don't sue us, anybody.